Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two. Hour number two on Hump Day. We're going to get you all the way to go home time on a Friday eventually. But right now, it's the middle of the week. We're glad you're with us. And I'm going right to the phones. On the line with us right now is Congressman Dale Strong, who is the congressman for the 5th District of Alabama, which includes the northern, you know, part of our state, including Huntsville, including Redstone Arsenal, including a major announcement. So without further ado, Congressman Dale Strong, how are you doing?
Great to be with you again, Phil. Big week for Alabama.
Yeah, it has been a big week for Alabama. I mean, that's just that's big doing. So I tell you what, let me just say, go ahead and take it away. Talk to us your thoughts and about what happened.
Well, I'll tell you right now, we definitely got a leader at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, and he's correcting something that the previous administration under Joe Biden tried to set our country up for failure. I always say, go with the best. It don't matter what you're doing. Be sure you got the best. And, you know, those 21 categories that were evaluated not once but twice, both times came back and said Redstone Arsenal in Huntsville is what is best for national security. And it can't be refuted. It doesn't matter how far, you know, the folks in Colorado want to go with it. But I'm just telling you right now, they had a situation there where they had the number one building 9.5 miles outside of the military base. It didn't even have as much as a brick in front of it to stop people from driving vehicles through it. Didn't have any force protection. And what has happened is you just went in there and we upended this thing. And let's do what's right for America. And I'm pretty excited about where we are right now.
Yeah, so Space Command is coming to Huntsville. I get some applause on that one. Thank you very much. Yeah, this has been long awaited, really kind of expected, but it took a little time, I guess, to get some things together. But let me ask you, the president, you were in the Oval Office yesterday. First of all, do you ever kick yourself or pinch yourself and think, I'm standing in the Oval Office right now? I mean, how's that feel?
It doesn't matter how many times I'm in there. I just say, man, this is unbelievable. But West Wing's pretty cool in itself. But you start getting in that Oval Office, and then yesterday, I mean, we were in there for a long time. And after they got the media out, he stayed another 30 minutes. And we just talked about everything from national security to, you know, kind of what was going on. And you think about that boat that was trying to run those drugs to America.
Yeah.
He made that decision on how to handle that right before we walked in. And it doesn't stop for him. It's unbelievable. He goes to bed about 3:30 every morning, gets back up at 7, does it again. There's nobody made like him.
No, he definitely broke the mold. All right, well, let me ask you. So Space Command, moving here, and for those who don't remember, this is not Space Force. This is Space Command. But it is still bringing a lot of jobs. How many jobs do we expect to come to the region because of this?
Yeah, the media kind of ran with that, but related to Space Command, it should be right around 1,700 jobs with a 3,000-job spinoff.
Wow.
And then the president did go a little further. You look at it, this Golden Dome is going to be our calling also, and I think the president just reiterated what everybody that's in our network understands. But you got the, like I said yesterday, the right people at the right place at the right time, and we've got the workforce that can handle this. There's no doubt about it. And it's good paying jobs, and it sets us up for generations to come.
So Colorado's already protesting. Any of your compadres or your peers in Congress saying anything to you about it? Because I'm seeing that their attorney general is already saying he intends to try and fight it in court somehow.
Tell him to get rolling. Mike Rogers, I spent some time with him this morning. Our Alabama delegation is people envy us. We are working together. It doesn't matter if it's Terry Sewell or from one end of this state to the other, from east to west and north to south. But I'm telling you right now, they need to look at that IG investigation. They need to look at the GAO. It talks about staffing, the ability to staff. It talks about IT, some of the failures there. And then you look at it, you think about when we questioned those four-star generals and the Secretary of the Air Force during this process. And I'm just telling you right now, some of them perjured themselves up there. And that's another thing. You look at how this process was going. We had one 4-star general that stood up in front of the entire Alabama delegation a week before he made a recommendation to Biden saying, do it in Colorado. But he told us he could recommend nothing but Redstone Arsenal. Well, whenever we found out he'd bought a $1.6 million horse farm in Colorado, we knew good and well that he wasn't planning on moving to Huntsville. But he retired, so we move on down the road. And the Secretary of the Air Force for both Trump, 45, and Biden both recommended Redstone Arsenal in Huntsville. And then, of course, Biden goes, he didn't recommend the number one candidate, not the number two, not the three or four. He recommended the fourth most qualified, which was Colorado, fourth in one of the evaluations and fifth in the other one. So I always say put your best horses on the field when it's time to play. And this is the big thing. The next war is not going to be storming the beaches of Normandy. It's going to start in space, knocking out satellites, and we have no time to waste. And that's exactly what's happened. About more than, almost 3 years, 4 years has been wasted. We need to be going vertical, and now North Alabama is going to benefit from it.
Well, so Congressman, let me ask you, what do we know about the timeline? Because obviously there's a facilities issue, there's logistics, there's, you know, moving people. So at what point are we going to see the actual jump from Colorado to Redstone? Do we have any idea?
Well, you know, that's the thing that we're working on now also. But I did do a couple of interviews yesterday with some of the Colorado media, and they're like, what happens if nobody moves from Colorado to Huntsville? I said, well, first of all, that's not going to happen. We've heard this numerous times, and we went through base realignment and closure, and they said there was going to be none that moved from there, and you know, what, 63-68% of them relocated. But the big thing is you start looking at the academics of UAH, Auburn, Alabama, Alabama A&M. You just go down the list, man. University of South Alabama, and then Mississippi State, Georgia Tech, Vanderbilt. That's who we're going to be recruiting this next line. So I think we've got the ability to take care of business, and I think they know that. But the big thing is there's going to be a lot of jobs for our local environment.
Will this be? Do you know? Will this be new construction? Are they going to have to build a facility? Or are they going to take over existing facilities at Redstone?
No, it's going to be new construction. It will be behind the wire. The location is already identified. The soil conditions are already where they need to be. And what we've got to do is finish. The design is almost complete. There's state commitments. There's local commitments. There's federal commitments. And the big thing is this will be a new construct, you know, somewhere between 14 and 18 months. And the money's already there to do this. And that's the other thing. In this evaluation, one of those 21 categories said, what is the cost to build and to evaluate the cost to construct and maintain of these different metropolitan areas that were evaluated? It's more than $426 million more cost effective to build it at Redstone Arsenal than it would be in Colorado. So
there you
think about it, just right off the bat, the taxpayers are going to save $426 million. And, you know, on every estimate, it's always a low estimate. So a half a billion dollars saved by bringing this to Redstone.
Well, that's good stuff. Let's talk about now your background. Of course, you were, you know, on the county commission for many years. You've seen this from its inception. You've seen the studies that were done when you were there at the local level. Now you're in D.C., but I gotta ask you, because every time I talk to somebody about this, because all my family's in Huntsville in that region, I got family that works on Redstone now, and there's all the talk about, my gosh, the traffic's going to pick up. We've already got the parkways jammed up. I mean, do you see infrastructure being increased in the region as well to support the influx of new personnel?
Absolutely, and I think that what we're doing is, like you say, this is jobs not just for today, but this is jobs for generations to come. But what we've got to do is, you know, we've got projects there that are already funded. Let's move forward with them. You got University Drive from Providence, Maine, to include the both bridges at the Indian Creek to take that all the way to County Line Road. It's all already funded through the state of Alabama, federal dollars. We added some more to that just last year. Got to move forward with it. You just start looking. The state transportation improvement projects identifies multiple roads. And so you look, some are already funded, but it's time to get the construction rolling, bring them in within budget. And so that's what we're trying to do. Jeff, Blake Bottom, Parkway, Shields Road, Winchester Road, we've got overpasses. Northern Bypass just did $8.4 million for that. We've got to take it on. The design's already started from 431 to Winchester, and from Winchester to 72 East. But we need even some of the roads in unincorporated areas have got to be done. But our workforce is coming from 17 counties in North Alabama and Southern Tennessee. And I think we're the lead employer for three counties in Southern Tennessee. So we've got to, it's more than just right there in the nucleus. We've got to take care of the outside areas also.
Well, I mean, it absolutely is. You know, what's amazing, too, is I read the of course, I grew up in Huntsville. I graduated from Grissom High School. These are all my running streets that you're talking about. But I read the history of Redstone, and it was, you know, the family, the Jones family, Ray Jones's dad, Carl T. Jones, had a lot to do with Redstone not going away. There was a time when the U.S. government was thinking about divesting itself of Redstone altogether and just getting rid of it. And then all of a sudden, it came back to life, and now we see what we have today.
Hey, I tell you what, I hate to run out on you. I got to vote. I've got to go in here.
You go do it, Congressman. We appreciate you. Have a great day.
Space Command's coming our way, man. Our time is now.
All right. Thanks, Congressman. Appreciate you. Yeah, I tell you what, I'll just say this before we go to the break. I appreciate the Congressman making time. His staff let me know that he was in the middle of votes, and he was actually stepping off the floor to take this call and had to wait till they called him so he could run back in and do his vote. So that's very cool. You're getting, by the way, you're getting a Congressman who is able to talk the issues while he's voting on the floor of the House. That's actually kind of cool. All right, well, tell you what, let's take a break, JP. We'll take that break. We'll come right back, and I'll give you a little more on Space Command because, yeah, Colorado's crying. Colorado's crying hard. I guess I don't blame them. Then again, it's kind of funny. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just bulletproof influence, man. Bulletproof influence. I'm wearing one of my Right Side Ruffian t-shirts today, by the way. You can find them on our website if you want one. Right Side Ruffian's got the flag on the sleeve. Whoop, wrong sleeve. Flag on the sleeve. Yeah, you can get them at rightsidemedia.org on the shop tab. Rightsidemedia.org, shop tab, t-shirts. There you are. Get coffee mugs, hats, all of it. But check them out. Right Side Ruffian t-shirts. Absolutely. So back on that Space Command thing, I got to say, Colorado is just like apoplectic. They're just, it's politics. It's absolute politics. Okay. So apparently, chime in if you want to, because we talked about it off the air, but apparently they've completely forgotten that this was a Trump 1.0 decision that Biden changed because of politics.
I can just go smoke a joint and be all right. They'll get over it.
Did you just go there?
Yeah, I did.
You did.
All right. Which is probably why it probably shouldn't have been there in the first place. I have some Space Command folks coming in a little.
Maybe Space Cadets at that point.
Yep.
Yeah, so wow. Hey, by the way, Colorado Attorney General Phil Weiser has threatened legal action over President Trump's Donald decision. Story here on 1819 News. Says, following Trump's announcement, Weiser issued a statement saying he was prepared to challenge the move in court. Of course he is. He says the Trump administration should not play political games. That's the irony.
That's why I was there in the first place.
The irony. Anyway, the Trump administration should not play political games with our nation's military readiness and military families. Did they see anything that Biden did to the military? First of all, Space Command was moved to Colorado because of politics. Then there's like transgenders in the military, and then there's like the anti-vax, I mean, or the vaccine thing that kicked a bunch of people. 8,000 troops lost their jobs. Just on and on and on. The over politicalization of the you know, people having to do like privilege walks because they were doing critical race theory training instead of, you know, training to kill people and break things. It's ridiculous. Anyway. He says, moving Space Command headquarters to Alabama is not only wrong for national defense, it's harmful to hundreds of Space Command personnel and their families. Harmful? Harmful?
Yeah, the statement pretty much said that it's inconvenient that these folks have to move, and that was pretty much it. It was like,
yeah.
So this is a convenience problem. That's all you got? You're going to sue in court because it's inconvenient.
Did you see what our Attorney General Steve Marshall said in reply?
Yeah, they're not sweating it.
Oh, they're not. He said Steve Marshall posted a tweet that was done by the Colorado Attorney General and answered it by saying, I guess we'll have to settle this in court. Spoiler, we're not sweating it. Let's agree in advance you owe us the attorney's fees when we win.
Well, how can they sue on it? Like, it's under the president's
prerogative
to do that.
I don't know.
Just like it was Biden's to move it there in the first place.
This is called bloviating.
Yeah, it's called pouting and coping and
bloviating. Yes, yes. Coping is hard. It's adulting, man. Get over it. It's coming to Alabama. I'm looking forward to it. Hey, by the way, there's another story. And do I have time to unpack it? How much time have I got? About 3 minutes for the break? I don't know if you guys are tracking this story. Came out of Cherokee County. By the way, that's part of my former Senate district. When I was in the state Senate, Cherokee County. Love Cherokee County. Amazing people up there. Weiss Lake. Beautiful communities like, you know, Center and Cedar Bluff. You got all the way out towards Spring Garden. You've got up toward little communities like Broomtown and others. But Cherokee County, there's some dicey stuff going on with the way the guy who took my place in the Senate, a guy named State Senator Andrew Jones, he filed a bill trying to hyper-regulate, in my opinion, a place called Indian Mountain ATV, Indian Mountain ATV Park. So it's where you can go and you can ride razors and four-wheelers and all that kind of stuff. It's like 4,500 acres. And it's an incredible place. It's one of the best in the Southeast for riding ATVs. It's privately owned. He was trying to regulate that thing into just like, you know, nothingness. Give it to the county commission to oversee it. Everybody's like, what are you doing, man? And then we found out he appeared to have a personal beef. Well, there was a horrible accident at Indian Mountain this past weekend. Two people died. And like seven others, including small children, were injured. Don't know if there's alcohol involved, but what it appears is they overloaded an ATV, had an accident. The two adults died. The kids were slung off. They had like eight people on a four-person ATV. And anyway, one pronounced dead at the scene. The other was airlifted to UAB, pronounced dead there. Seven more children ages 1 to 12 were injured. Andrew Jones, State Senator Andrew Jones, has made this a political issue. His immediate statement was, if they had just passed my bill, and everybody's like, wait a minute, you can't go down that road. So I'm doing this thing on local news right now. I'm talking about home fries, but this is a story. So right now we've got people running against it. If you're a Republican and you draw other Republicans as a primary, there's one of two reasons. Either A, you're doing a bad job, or B, people just want your job. I think that this Indian Mountain thing has become the Achilles heel of an Andrew Jones candidacy, along with what he did to veterans, which has been an issue. But Andrew Jones has just stepped in it hard with this tragedy, and he's using a tragedy right now, it appears, as a political football. It's not sitting well with the general public, though. Talk about it more after this and more with Home Fries, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man. Just covering down on some major ground across the Southeast U.S. of A. Y'all, I'm talking about this show, this one. I mean to say, this show goes like from Huntsville back over to Chattanooga. I'm talking about from Tuscaloosa back over to Gadsden. I mean all the way down to that little, lovely little village on the plains we call Auburn and straight across the line from there to what we call, once again, Fort Benning. Benning! And then big old patches of North Georgia, Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. And that's just the radio, all the radio audience in that footprint. But oh, by the way, then there's all y'all in the whole wide world going to the World Wide Web, dialing us in every single day for the live stream on places like X and YouTube and Rumble and Facebook and our website, rightsidemedia.org. And then all you podcasters who catch it after the fact. Look, bottom line is this, wherever y'all catch it, wherever y'all catch this show, just know this, it means the world to us. We love y'all as an audience. You're the reason why we do it. Thank you very much. We appreciate you. By the way, I forgot to announce it because I just got all into the topic of, you know, talking to the congressman. And sometimes when I'm resourcing the show early in the morning, gathering up all the different stories, I'm going to have the paper to rattle when I get in here. Oh, by the way, I look around and realize a lot of stuff's happening in our own backyard. Sometimes you got to pay attention to what's going on in and around and amongst you. That means what I'm actually doing right now, even though I didn't say it earlier, is cooking up a batch of home fries. Yeah. Cook them up. All the home fries. So I was talking about this situation in Cherokee County. It's a great story on it that came out 2 days ago on 1819 News. It has become a political football. It's a tragedy. It should not have done this. State Senator Andrew Jones, who actually took my place in the Alabama State Senate, for Senate District 10. He has been at war with this ATV park trying to get them regulated, which is a big government thing. I mean, like he's coming in hard trying to make them something they were never intended to be. I think what's really happened is there's some nearby landowners that they just want something done because they get tired of having people come out there to their peaceful farm area. Andrew Jones said with his tragedy this past weekend when two people died and seven more were injured, he says much of this could have been avoided. He said that he's deeply saddened by the Labor Day weekend's tragedy at Indian Mountain ATV Park. We're keeping the nine victims from Georgia and their families in our thoughts and prayers. And then he goes on to talk about, you know, how hard it was out there and the first responders being unfamiliar with the terrain. He said, I have long been concerned about unofficial reports from the park of, you know, drinking and driving, and just basically went on to trash him a little bit. And then he said, these are a few of the reasons I authored Senate Bill 234 to provide reasonable safeguards for Cherokee County ATV parks. And he just basically went on to say they need to be regulated. And they're operating these machines that are dangerous, they're even deadly, and the public safety is paramount. So what he basically said was, y'all can't do this by yourself. Doesn't matter how long you've been there. You need government to fix it. And that's interesting. It's an entirely privately owned land, private business. It's not a part of an industry. It's a one-off. And it's right there in Cherokee County. And people were ticked. The idea that he ran this bill just really ticked people off. But what's really also making people mad, and his challengers right now are saying, what are you doing? One of his challengers is actually a right side ruffian named Amy Minton. And if you're not familiar, Amy Minton is one of the people who has been on the state library board fighting against all the wokeness and the transgender books and stuff in the kids section. She came out and said, you know, she wanted to thank all the first responders for what they did. And she said, and we live in a fallen world. Until Christ returns, this remains true. There will be accidents, evil acts, and heartbreak. Legislators cannot right away tragedy. No law can stop every accident or every act of violence. I will always stand up for individual freedom. I will always stand up for the right to bear arms, and I will stand against government overreach and regulation. Great response on her part, but I feel like, by the way, Andrew Jones is the one who also, if any of y'all are veterans and you are mad about the way the previous director of Veterans Affairs for the state of Alabama was so ousted by the governor, and then how the law was changed that sort of cut out the veterans groups. Well, that was his bill. So he's got two things right now that have really put a lot of people on his bad side. So we'll see how he does. But he's being primaried hard right now. Younger guy named Jesse Battles and then Amy Minton are both Republicans giving him a run for his money in State Senate District 10. All right, enough of that. Let me go on to this one. You see the story about the BLM guy from Birmingham, Homewood? You see that?
I've seen there's been riots, but I've not seen that particular story.
So a guy named Mercutio? I don't know. Shootio? I don't know. Anyway, Mercutio Southall. He's one of the organizers of Black Lives Matter protests in Homewood. He has now been arrested on arson and criminal mischief charges. He set fire in a Homewood Walmart as part of a protest because you remember there was the shooting of a kid named Jabari Peoples? Jabari mm-hmm. Peoples, yeah.
Yep.
And the family kept screaming that the police had shot him. It was unjustified. He was a good kid. The body cam video, I don't know why they held it back as long as they did, but the body cam video was finally released and it clearly shows a gun in his hand as he resisted the police and they shot him. Well, Southall was one of the ones organizing all the protests. And then he sees Southall apparently on secure camera going through Walmart with a basket, and he collected up things like he had a shopping cart full of rags, blankets, charcoal bags, small engine fuel, and paint thinner.
That's not suspicious at all.
Not at all. And he pre-positioned the shopping cart in a clothing aisle. Like he took it, placed it in a clothing aisle, left, went to the protest, came back, lit the fire, and did over $130,000 worth of damage in the Walmart, and he's now been arrested. This is a BLM protest activist who I guess thought burning Walmart was a way to, I don't know, protest the local police.
Yeah, that does a whole lot of good for your cause.
I can't even find the tie-in.
No,
it wasn't like Walmart was the source of all their problems.
It's just, I mean, just like what we saw in LA most recently. They find something to protest and use it as an excuse to just destroy things because
yes.
they're maniacs.
Yes.
That's pretty much what it is. There is no tie-in.
Yes. Hey, let's talk about the difference between Alabama and Tennessee with regards to the use of National Guard. So, 1819 News and Tennessee Lookout. I've got two different stories here. Which one do you want first?
Oh, we'll go Tennessee Lookout first.
Tennessee Lookout.
Yeah.
Go Vols. Okay, here we go. Did I just say that? Wow. Yeah.
All right, so
Tennessee Governor Bill Lee's story came out about six days ago. Tennessee Governor Bill Lee is not considering deploying National Guard personnel to Tennessee cities for law enforcement. All right, so he says, we have no plan to put the National Guard there. Memphis is the problem. Memphis.
Yeah.
Memphis is...
Maybe a little bit too far gone, I hate to say it, but they need some help.
Never. Anyway, Memphis. We want our Memphis back. It says the governor said the state has made significant investments to stem crime in Memphis, including spending $150 million in grant funds and increasing Tennessee Highway Patrol enforcement, U.S. Marshals, local agencies. He says crime is down in Memphis over the last year. But he says we've had no conversations with the president or his team about National Guard. And he seemed to indicate that he has no intent himself as governor to use the National Guard to assist. Then you come Alabama. Soon to be governor.
Governor-elect.
Yeah, we can go ahead and call him governor-elect. Why don't we just do that?
Yeah.
Governor-elect Tommy Tuberville said he would not hesitate to deploy the National Guard to Montgomery or Birmingham as governor to combat crime if necessary. He ain't playing. He's just saying, sure, I'll do it.
And I'm sure a lot of Alabamians would welcome that.
You know what? There are some who would. And here's the thing. If you look at what happened in D.C., what's still happening in D.C., the local police were like, thank you.
Yeah.
We needed this. Mm-hmm. And they're excited about it, and they're endorsing it. And I wonder how the Police Benevolent Association in Montgomery and Birmingham, if they would be supportive of this.
I'm sure they would. And I don't think it's a permanent fix, obviously. But when you got cities that are just completely out of control, like Memphis, like Birmingham. Birmingham has gotten a little bit better, but I know, you know, we've insinuated they've been working with the federal government behind the scenes.
Yeah.
But something's got to be done for these cities. It's like a fix right now, like Memphis. I don't know if you saw the video recently that came out of Memphis of a massive incident, and I believe it was in a bar where it was just out of control mayhem. I mean, Memphis is really struggling, so I think the police in those cities would welcome something to help fix it right now, and then hopefully long term find a better solution. But I would think they would all welcome it. The police unions.
Do me a favor, look this up while I'm finishing this piece. Marsha Blackburn, who I believe is going to be the next governor of Tennessee, see if she has said anything about the use of National Guard. But yeah, while he's looking that up, so current Tennessee governor, who I'm thinking about it now, is term limited, soon to be out of office, Bill Lee. He says he's not considering the use of National Guard. Tuberville, who is going to be the next governor of Alabama, is saying that he absolutely would use it. His words, he says, first of all, you have to weigh your local law enforcement and state law enforcement. Then they all have to work together. What you want is 24 hours, a 24-hour presence, like President Trump's doing in Washington, D.C. He said, I've been up there for 5 years. He's bringing the National Guard in now to enhance and take the place of the 24-hour shifts for state and local law enforcement. That's what you do. And he said, visibility is the number one deterrent to crime. And that's a great point. What'd you find on Marshall Blackburn?
Article yesterday on... WSMV, which I assume is a local news place in Memphis.
Yeah.
Marsha Blackburn is voicing her support for bringing the National Guard to Memphis.
Well, now.
Says blue cities like Memphis need all the help they can get to combat violent crime, and I'm grateful for President Trump's tremendous work to hold leftist officials accountable for putting their own citizens at risk. So, yeah, she supports it.
Wow. Okay. Well, there you have it. I got a couple more stories here in the home fries section. Cooking up some home fries, JP. Give me some home fries. Home fries. Cook them up. Smell them. There's a new ruling that came out about gun laws in Tennessee. So on Friday, all y'all Tennessee gun owners, listen up. This is last week. A panel of three judges declared two Tennessee gun laws unconstitutional. One Republican Tennessee state rep said, "I'm excited for what this means for the citizens of Tennessee." Okay. He says the first law now considered unconstitutional is what was known as the Park Statute. It banned people from carrying guns in public parks. The second law was one that made it illegal to carry a gun with, quote, the intent to go armed. I look at that and go, wait a minute. If you're carrying a gun, what are you supposed to do? Like, do you wrap it up, put a bow on it, and put it in a gift bag, and then that way you're not considered armed? They had a statute that said the intent to go armed was against the law. The right to bear arms is the Second Amendment.
I have no words. What is that? How does that even make sense?
How does that even get passed? Anyway, State Representative John Ray Clemens, Democrat from Nashville, spoke about the competition that can come with this, and he just basically talked about how, you know, in Little League Baseball, you got parents with disagreements, tempers flare. You don't need firearms being brandished. You know what? How about this? Trust adults to be adults. Isn't that an amazing thing? Go out and look at Alabama. Tell me how many Little League parks in our open carry permitless state you have seen turn into a gunfight. Now, I realize
I've never seen it.
You've played a lot of ball growing up.
I've seen a lot of parent disputes. I've never seen shootouts. I'll say that.
Most folks don't get their firearms out because little Johnny got a strike when it should have been a ball.
Yeah.
You know, call him out at first. It doesn't become a gunfight.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the bottom line is this. Tennessee had some goofy anti-gun laws on the books. Goofy anti-gun laws. And one of them literally said it would be illegal to carry a gun with the intent to go armed. That's what carrying a gun is. And the Second Amendment, the right to bear arms shall not be infringed, but you can't go armed. That's like saying you can't breathe air.
Well, now we need to ban Subway footlongs to have those without intent to be armed, I guess, after what we saw.
All right, take me to a break, JP. We'll take that break. We'll come right back and get some text messages. Moving towards the top of the hour, we will have the Grand Council with my brethren Jeff Poor and Dale Jackson. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just making common sense like a superpower. Hey, got a brand new texter from our Chattanooga channel, Jeff from Chattanooga, if you get him plugged into the system, man. Jeff from Chattanooga said, this is a new texter from Chattanooga. Yes, it is. He says, those two laws that got overturned were welcomed because the legislature thought one was bad for open carry in parks and the other couldn't get eliminated due to liberal opposition. Love the show. Wow, that's crazy. That's crazy, Jeff. I mean, can't have a law that says carrying a gun as long as you don't go armed. You're automatically armed when you carry the gun. It makes no sense to me. Anyway, hey, glad you're in the text lines. We got you recorded in. Your name is now emblazoned in our system. Jeff from Chattanooga, appreciate you very much. JP just told me something during the break that may be the craziest story I've ever heard. So we were talking about on the air a minute ago, Tuberville is going to be the governor. And, I mean, he's got the name ID, he's got the money, he's got the Republican brand, he's got all of it. I guarantee there's going to be a Trump endorsement sometime soon. But there is a smattering of Democrat opposition, one of which is a guy named Pastor Jamel Brown. Pastor Jamel Brown.
Yeah.
From where? Montgomery?
He's from Montgomery.
And Jamel Brown may have some of the most interesting platform issues and campaign giveaways as I've ever heard of. Tell them what you heard.
Well, I've been seeing this guy on my Instagram pop up. I haven't given him much attention. I've kind of just laughed at his content because it's pretty obvious Tuberville's going to win. But when he posts stuff like this, I feel like you got to talk about it because he posted a box full of condoms on his Instagram and said, I quote, "I just picked up an order of 1,000 brand new condoms," and he said some other things, but then said that these condoms are free on behalf of Jamel Brown for Alabama Governor 2026. "I'll keep them at our campaign headquarters if anybody needs them."
Does he just walk around like going door to door? Instead of handing out his card, he hands out condoms?
I guess so. And his claim that he's trying to help his generation, you know, protect themselves or whatever, but they're free from his campaign.
Are they emblazoned with his name?
You can't see it, but they are gold. So that's
Jamel Brown for
Pastor Jamel Brown.
Pastor Jamel Brown for governor. Here's your free condom.
Who also is for legalizing marijuana. releasing all nonviolent offenders. He's got quite the interesting platform. So I'm going to go on a hunch and say that he's not going to win. But if you want to go check him out, his Instagram is Pastor Jamel Brown. You'll get a kick out of his content. It's funny.
And he's legit, though. He's a real candidate.
He is a real candidate. His bio says, Pastor, Leader, Activist, Democrat Candidate for Alabama Governor of 2026.
What? Is he like a Jesse Jackson or an Al Sharpton pastor? I mean, is he a real pastor?
Well, he's like an activist pastor. Yeah, I mean, he's a real pastor, but he likes to be. Well, I don't know. I don't know what a pastor would want to legalize marijuana and promote having premarital sex like that.
Like giving out condoms.
Yeah, but he's a pastor of a church, so I think that's all you can say about it. But yeah,
you can't make that crap up.
No, you can't.
I mean, if we wrote a Saturday Night Live skit and we did that in it, people would go, oh, "Come on."
He also said he wants to have cookouts at the Governor Mansion, with one of the days being Twerk Tuesdays, he says. So,
he wants a Twerk Tuesday at the Governor's Mansion?
He does. Yeah. He said he wants to make Alabama fun again.
Twerk Tuesday around the pool at the Governor's Mansion.
I don't know what else to say, but I think that's
all. Well, I guess you need the condoms now, don't you?
I guess so.
That's just gross. That's just awful.
It really is.
So, I want to know if he has any like campaign jingles. Does he sing a song? Does he do anything like we can play it once in a while just for fun? Do we need to come up with a Jamel Brown spot that we just do like a weekly check-in on the Jamel Brown campaign? The man handing out condoms.
Yeah.
It is door-to-door campaigning.
I don't know what else to say. He's certainly an interesting candidate.
I mean, just when you think you've seen Alabama politics.
Yeah.
Good Lord. All right, coming up next, we got my brethren in talk radio, Dale Jackson, Jeff Poor joining us, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.